At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for-
welcome, 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 welcome. I'm adding an extra welcome in there today. This is Edna J. White, and I'm so glad that you are with me today on Let's... just keeping it real on purpose. Okay, so today's topic is about, of course, you know, trauma and purpose. Okay, you know, that's what I do. So what I've done is I've reached out to a couple of people and just asked them what they wanted to talk about today. So one of the things was, why am I being triggered now in my life? I'm over 40 and I'm being triggered by other people and I don't know how to, you know, get rid of that. I don't know how to work it. So here's the thing with triggers, okay? I've heard a lot of my friends say, and when I learned about forgiveness, this is when I learned about forgiveness, okay? So I said to them, they asked me, how is it that you've gotten forgiveness down? And I had to think about that because for years I was walking around angry, very snappy, thinking this is the professional way to be, the very short, not giving people the time of day, just conserving my time with full tomfoolery, you know, that kind of thing, and not being kind in my way of addressing things with people. So they said to me, you know, how do you get into forgiveness? You know, how do you, I said, let me tell you something. Number one, I never knew it at the time, but living with your perpetrator teaches you another level of forgiveness. And it meets you where you are, that you learn very quickly and unbeknownst to yourself that it could be done. And I said, it was a learning experience for me. It wasn't about talking. Because when I did talk about forgiveness, I attached it to, well, that's what God said, or that's what Jesus said, and I was copying what other people said, but not knew the real essence of forgiveness, the real actions of forgiveness. Or I would say, you know, I forgive you, or I like you, I love you, but I don't like you. That's a form of the also forgiveness thing. But in actual life, when I said those things, the people that I did say them to, I actually could not stand them. I haven't forgiven them because every time I got around them, I realized that my triggers were going off constantly. Bing, 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 bing. Mentioning their name. Bing, 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 bing. Everything was going off. Everything that ever, that just thinking about them. Smelling a smell that reminded me of that situation. Bing, bing, bing. The bell was going off. The trigger was going off, and I was being triggered, and my emotional actions then kicked in. And then my body reacted because my face was like, you know, and then my body left. You know, I was like, I'm out of here, you know, not dealing with this. And so I really didn't have forgiveness down pat until my accident in 2006. Then I got it down pat. Because I knew what ultimate, I had an experience with God, with my spiritual higher power internally. And I knew what that was about. I knew what, you cannot put new ideas into old wineskins. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. I knew what that really meant. You cannot, not study to show thyself approved. Studying everything, everywhere, worldly events, cultures. You cannot not experience those things in order to have a great sense of judgment and wisdom. You cannot not live this life and live one type of lifestyle. You cannot. You cannot expand or be empathetic, be kind, be loving, be long-suffering if you are in one type of way. And you cannot think that your way is the only way because there's so many other ways. So condemning who is not like you or being upset about it or saying they're going to hell is none of your business. I wish people would stop that. It's none of their business. None. None whatsoever. So getting back to how do I not get triggered? Well, the first thing that you got to realize is that being triggered has nothing to do with that person on the outside. It has to do all with you. So if you're getting upset and you're going to bat for someone who could not defend themselves or going to bat for someone who's not saying what you would say or going to bat for someone that doesn't understand the simple task of blah, 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 or going to bat for someone or being upset with someone at your job for not being able to do the simplest of tasks, that's a trigger. That goes back to you, not to them. Because if you had long suffering, it wouldn't be that hard to assist them or say, this is what you have to do, or simply realize, oh, this is me doing that. They don't have a problem not doing that. Walk away. But those triggers exist because you didn't take care of what you're supposed to take care of. You did not do the work. You relied on someone else to do the work, or you relied on putting that on the shelf, or you relied on putting that on the altar and thinking that the higher power was going to help you fix it when he or they or it or them have already given you such powers. And we then don't take the responsibility that we need to grow from that. That we don't take the responsibility of knowing those triggers. So people may get to you, but then you quickly fall in line and you see the, I don't think you see, and we say the enemy. Some say, I don't say we, not me, but some say it's the enemy. No, no, no. It's the in me that's doing it. The in me that's doing that, not the enemy. It's what's in me that's doing that. And when you understand that, you are going to grow exponentially. I mean, you're gonna grow like gangbusters. You got to realize that a lot of this work is all about in you. You know, when I didn't know how to make this work or how to make my superpowers work, I sought someone that did. You know, I looked to someone that knew better than me, and I paid for that. If it wasn't insurance, I paid for it out of my pocket because I felt that I was someone, I was worth being invested in. I wasn't looking to put the responsibility on someone else. So I decided to do the work. And I talk about that a lot, you know, when, you know, dealing with my own trauma, dealing with your own trauma, some things you have to pay for in order to work on. Because you don't know everything. You're not going to figure it all out. And I'm telling you, if you don't get the first initial, you know, 12 tools, if you don't get those, if you don't have those, and I know that we all know about them, if we don't have them, then we're not going to get too far. We may have maybe 3 of those 12, but we want them all to work so that we have those superpowers. The triggers that we're being triggered by are not within us, ladies and gentlemen. On the outside of us. Excuse me, that was a big snafu. But it's not on the outside of us. It's not somebody else aggravating you. It's not to the annoyance of a noise. It's, you know, way deeper than that. And we learn that from knowing that trauma happens externally, but it's how you internally, you know, work that out. And that's why, that it's internally how you perceive it. And that's why all the work has to be internal. So even if you solve the external problem, you move away or you don't deal with that person or, you know, the person dies and you say you've forgiven them, it still exists that you are now faced with all of this stuff. But even though it's the person's gone, even though the thing is gone, even though you're not in the same area, you're still going through the same things because you did not deal with it internally. You did not say, this work has to be done on me, like an operating table, cut me open, work on what organ needs to be worked on. You didn't do that. So it begs to differ that in order to work on this trigger, you have to work on yourself. You have to really say, I am worth investing in this. I may not know the answers, but I know that there's a professional that can help me. And then you have to, once you even get the help or have the sessions, you have to start applying them. A lot of my clients, they all grow it at different times. But when you know someone is serious, they start feeling the results right away. They start feeling it and they start actuating all the homework. It's like boom, boom, boom. And I feel the difference. And I heard what you're saying. You said about such and such, and I feel the difference already. And I'm not responding to that. I'm letting go of this and letting go of that. And they're learning. That's them learning to put their tools into action. Not just say, oh yeah, I got the tools, and then what do I do with them? They're learning how to use the tools or relearning how to use them in the way of not survival, right? Not in the survival mode, but in the thriving mode that they can use them continuously and ongoing in every situation. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm telling you about is that, you know, the trigger is not about someone externally. It's not about, you know, I know it's, you do have the PTSD, because I have it, you know, but it's learning how to understand where that comes from and then control how it comes out. That's the big difference in getting that work, being able to use that tool in order to close that off. See, a lot of the things that we have read about in Bibles, in studious books, in ministry books, and Greek dictionaries, Hebrew dictionaries, A lot of those words that we've read all have action. See, that's what we fail to forget. We think that those words go in the air and they're supposed to come back down. But we're responsible for a lot of the action that goes along with it. Perfect example, the words like Selah and Amen have to do with a breathing action. Well, you have to breathe and you have to agree. You have to, you know, take in, breathe in, like have to breathe in what someone is saying and then breathe out. Yeah, that makes sense. Amen. Selah, you know. So that is all about action. It's not about just like, you know, words that you would want to say or words that you feel like saying, you know. But it's something that you breathe in and you take in and it rings that bell and it's agreeing with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And you're spitting it out to say, Amen, Selah, Song of Everlasting. I want to say this last thing about triggers. Sometimes we say that we've forgiven because that's part of that trigger. That's part of the electronic lines into the trigger, all right? Sometimes we say that, or we say that the person's dead, or I've moved on from that, or I've moved away, or I've gotten older. Yeah, you get older, yet the little inner child, little Edna, or the little Susan, or the little Dolores, or little Josephine, is still alive in you. And she shows up, or he shows up. Bob, you know, he shows up at times when that trigger goes off. It's not the outside world. It's the inner you that hasn't grown up and haven't been healed and hasn't been assured that everything, that I'm healing and I'm going to get you help. Little Joanne or little Josephine, I'm going to help you, you know, with my healing and with the work that I'm going to do as an adult. You know, that's not being said to the inner child. So the inner child shows up and acts out. Or shows out, and they show and the inner child shows up in different ways. You may do the reverse of, like, say, you may be doing the reverse of when people feel comfortable, they will go the extra mile. When they don't feel comfortable, they will not. You will do the reverse of that. You will do the total reverse. And you will go all out to get some type of recognition for your ego, or feel wanted, still for your ego, or be part of something, still for your ego. You will do things like that in order to make friends, make connections, be part of something. You'll do the opposite. And that's when the inner child shows up. When you don't take a break for yourself and you think that that is the best thing in the world, that you've done everything that you wanted to do for the universe and you're giving to people, that's the opposite. You give accordingly. How can you give something to somebody that you don't even give to yourself? That's not going to be effective. That soon will run its course and run to the point that it's no longer effective and no longer helps you, and you're going to feel the effects in your body. Yes, it's great to do amazing things, because I've done some amazing things, but I'm now learning within all of that it's moderation, and I'm not going to commit to something that I just won't do, or else I'll say it's time for me to decline and move on. But yet, we still do the opposite. That inner child shows up, you know, and we don't want her to show up. We don't want him to show up. We want them to have that chime. That trigger's not going to go off. That trigger's not going to be something that's going to make me act up or show out, because the inner child is still part of you. You know, I hope that you've gotten something out of this. I forgot in the middle of all of this. I was supposed to say, don't forget to like and subscribe and share this recording with other people. Because I want to hear what's on your mind. You know, I'm responding to emails and, you know, thoughts and comments from my Wounded to Wonderful group, you know. Join my group. It's on Facebook, Wounded to Wonderful. Join that group, and it's a real life coaching page. It asks questions. It challenges you. It helps you to grow. We're a community of growth-oriented people that if you want to grow, you will. You know, you will put the time in. I'm not saying stay on my page all day, every day, but I post twice, sometimes three times a day, with some poignant information to challenge how you are living in this life. You know, go on my page, you know. You can find me on www.thisisforyou.com. That is my life coaching page. You can also find me on Facebook, Edna J. White. You know, visit me. Holler at me, people. Internet best friends, holler at me, and I'll be sure to holler back. This is Edna J. White, and you are on Keeping It Real on Purpose. Thanks so much.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BV Jobs to 97211 to apply.